The internet has had a huge impact on all kinds of media, print media, broadcast media, in the past, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years. And when I say huge, I mean huge in a negative sense, in a devastating sense. I don't know if any of you actually work in the media, but, you know, you hear stories all the time about newspapers that are going out of business, magazines that are going out of business. A lot of magazines have gone online. The broadcast media has been changed radically by the internet. And a lot of people wonder if newspapers are eventually just going to kind of go the way of the payphone. You know, you'd be driving around the street and say, hey, wow, there's a newspaper, like we do with payphones today. And it's kind of a similar thing has happened with what was a standby when I was growing up, the evening news. And not so much with local stations, but the what we think of as the network news, you know, the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather. What we knew growing up, those in my generation and older, has either been changed radically or it's just gone. It's just phased out. And the strange thing about it is that people are still reading the news. And, in fact, we read the news more than ever, right? We read the news in the grocery checkout line while we're, you know, waiting for the train, while we're, you know, sitting at a stoplight. We read the news constantly, constantly checking, you know, for sports scores and updates and headlines. And, you know, and now you can get updates on your phone, you know, when there's breaking news. We are surrounded by news all the time. But and I'm not a marketing person, but the marketing people have to figure out a way to make money in a new world where the information is democratized, where you can get it anywhere and everywhere. We're no longer tied down to reading the news in a certain set of pieces of paper or at a certain time on a certain night from a certain station, from a certain person. We can get it anywhere, everywhere we want to, anytime we want. And I'm not going to provide the answers for the news, you know, so I'll let somebody else figure that out. But I say all that to say this. Contrary to popular opinion, news has not been outmoded. The communication through the written word or through words has not been outmoded. And even though, you know, when we're watching the news, we watch videos a whole lot more than we ever used to. In fact, it's hard sometimes when you go to a given, you know, internet site like MSN or Comcast. Sometimes it's hard actually get a story, a printed story, because everything is in video clips. But still, even in a video clip, it's communicated through words. So words have not been outmoded. Words never will be outmoded. And it's really a good thing, too, because everything that we're going to talk about depends on that. And as I said before, what we've been talking about as we go through Advent is how God communicated his word. In other words, his promise. Started back in Genesis, and we talked through Advent about how he communicated it to Ezekiel, to the prophet Elijah, to a young girl named Mary, through Gabriel, to John the Apostle, who told us that Jesus is the living word of God. He's the means through which God created the world and gave us everything that we have. So tonight, what we got to hear in Luke chapter 2 was the promise of good news fulfilled. You know, what all that stuff in the Old Testament was looking forward to. The Greek word, the euangelion, the good news, the proclamation, delivered to a bunch of shepherds on hillside outside Bethlehem. Now, I want to take just a few moments to show you something that I never really noticed before about this passage. Because this passage it's not just about the message of the news of Jesus' birth. That's really what the message is. But this passage itself is actually about something else. It's about the effect that that news had on a particular group of people. And it's about the effect that that group of people had on the message. And I'm talking about the shepherds. Over 15 times in these 13 verses of this section, verses 8 through 20, you have something to do with word or message. Word spoken, message received. There's some word that has to do with the communication. So you've got you've got messages going on all over the place in verses 8 through 20. And So the question you have to ask is, okay, well, what's it about? Well, you know, it's about Jesus being born. But the surprising thing is this passage, even though the message is about Jesus being born, this passage is actually focused on the shepherds. And I realized that this year in looking at it more so than ever before. I've always kind of, you know, we know this passage. We've heard it a million times. But it helped me to kind of see it in a different way. And the strange thing about the shepherds being the focus of this passage is that, you know, as you probably know, in the first century, they were outcasts. They were the lowest class of men. This is going to sound sexist, but, you know, women were lower. But, you know, that's just the way it was. But they were the lowest class of men above, let's say, lepers. And that's not shooting very high. because lepers were, you know, nobody even went near them. But shepherds were slightly above on the totem pole. They were considered liars and thieves, not trustworthy. They lived their lives out in the field, so obviously they couldn't keep any of the ceremonial laws. Their testimony would never stand up in court. They were known as sinners in a similar way to the way the tax collectors were viewed. But the amazing thing here is that God chooses to bring his message to them. But I don't want to just look at that. I want you to see how they were actually carrying the message themselves too. There's a there's an Old Testament passage that doesn't get talked about a lot, Jeremiah 33, that predicts that a righteous branch, and of course that's a phrase for the Messiah, for God's anointed king, a righteous branch would come at a place and time where and when shepherds would be tending their flocks. You know, almost a verbatim prophecy of exactly the setting into which this message came. And so what it tells us is God had it all planned out. This was not an accident. It was not a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing. So there's several messages that I want to show you in this, and we're going to move real quickly from one to the other. The first one is from the angel to the shepherds in verses 9 through 12. The angel tells the shepherds, don't be afraid, which of course they were, and we would be too. But the reason he tells them not to be afraid is that he has good news of great joy that will be for all the people. All the people meaning the Jews. Jesus said he came for the lost sheep of Israel. But listen to what the angel says in verse 11, because he's narrowing it down. He does say, this is for God's people, the Jews. But then in verse 11, he says, for unto you is born a Savior. You see, this was probably the first time that those shepherds had ever been directly addressed, that anybody had ever cared enough to actually tell them something for them. And the angel was not speaking over their heads. They didn't just happen to be there on the hill. The angel was talking to them. And he said, this baby is born for you. This baby is born to you. I mean, normally a baby's born to a family, right? Mother, father, siblings, extended family. But they were the audience. And it had to be completely shocking for these shepherds, because nobody ever wanted to even talk to them. And so, of course, we know from the Bible that the baby wasn't just for them. Babies for whoever believes that this baby really is who the angel said he was, the Son of David, the Messiah, the Lord, God in the flesh. So that's the first message. The second message is from a multitude of angels to God. This is verse 13 and 14. They gave glory to God. And this is something the angels, of course, have been doing for millennia. You know, this is what they did in heaven. But God deserved it especially at this moment. And again, the shepherds are central to this because they're right there. They get to be sitting in on this little praise song between the angels and God. Now, the angel's message is specific. It's not just peace on earth. It's on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased. And again, the shepherds had to be shocked that, okay, the angels are saying this, and they're talking to us, that we are among those with whom God is pleased, because nobody was pleased with them. The third message is the shepherds' words to each other. They believed the angels. The angels said, go to Bethlehem. So dutifully, they went to Bethlehem. They found the family, and they worshipped him. And this is really a key component, because You think about it. If the shepherds had received the message and then just dispersed, the message would have stopped there. But they followed what the angels said. They went to Bethlehem. They found Jesus. The fourth message was the shepherds' announcement to everybody else. Verse 17 starts with a word that I never knew was in there because I hadn't ever actually translated this passage. You see, I normally do this on Christmas Eve, and this is sort of an inside pastor's experience, but around Christmas, you always have two sermons to do. You know, you got the Sunday, and then you got the Christmas Eve, so you only have so much time, and then you have Christmas. So a lot of times, I don't spend as much time on this particular passage because it seems like I always do it on Christmas Eve if I do. And so I hadn't actually spent as much time in the original language on this as I did this time. Verse 17, how does it start in English? And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Verse 17 starts with behold. So Luke is saying behold means, it's like an ancient way of saying listen. Pay attention. This is really, really important. And so he's saying, behold, the shepherds went out and spread the word concerning this child. They went everywhere. And this is the amazing thing, because when Jesus was here on this earth, what was he always telling people whenever he did a miracle or whenever he did something amazing? What was he always telling them? He's saying, shh, shh, don't tell anybody. Let's keep this our little secret. But here, the shepherds, they go everywhere, all throughout that country, all the area in and around Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was not that far from Jerusalem. Now, the strange thing is the reaction of the people. Now, it says that they marveled, they wondered at everything that the shepherds said. It doesn't say they believed it. And as far as we know, years later, when Jesus announces that that his ministry has started, we don't have any evidence that there was any continuing effect from this big announcement and these shepherds going everywhere. Basically, the most momentous announcement in history pretty much fell on deaf ears, as far as we can tell. The fifth message is one that we don't often talk about at all. Verse 19 says, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering or considering them in her heart. Now, when I read that, I asked myself, well, what things? And in a way, that's kind of a silly question because, Mary had a busy day. There's a lot going on. She had a baby. But I don't think it was just the having of the baby. I mean, why didn't we hear that she was considering after Gabriel announced all this? I mean, I'm sure she was doing a lot of pondering and a lot of considering back then. She's not just pondering and considering what happened as far as the birth. She's pondering and considering what the shepherds told her. Because, of course, when the shepherds came to worship the baby, they told Mary what they had seen, which was pretty amazing. Because we heard this angel, and he was telling us what happened, and then there was this incredible, huge multitude of angels, and they were all praising God, and they said that this baby was the son of David, and that he's the anointed one, and that he's the Lord. He's God in the flesh. Do you realize this about this baby? I'm sure that's the kinds of things that they said to her. You see, we know from later passages of Scripture that Mary had serious doubts about who Jesus was, even during his ministry. She was questioning. She wasn't really sold on this idea of her son being the Messiah, God in the flesh, even during his ministry. It wasn't until, really, his resurrection, along with most of the rest of his followers, that she became a fully committed follower of Christ. Do you see how vital the shepherds were to Mary, to Mary's faith, to the journey that God had for her? And it's amazing to realize that, these are the people that were considered the riffraff, the outsiders, the worthless people. The last message is the shepherds' words of praise to God in verse 20. And basically, they imitated the angels. They couldn't help, but it just the praise just sort of poured out of them for everything that they'd heard and seen. So I think a good question to ask here is, what do we do with this? How do we respond? What is our, what's our response to what we hear? Well, I think we can't help we can't help but ponder ourselves the fact that God made the lowest people so central to his plan. And so obviously, if you think you are worthless, listen to what this passage is saying and think again. Because you're not. Not to God. Maybe to other people, but not to God. And if you think that others are worthless or close to worthless, or if you think you're better, reconsider their value. Reconsider your value in light of God's value system. Because it's radically different from the value system that we use every day in judging people. And I think the most important thing we have to do is knowing how God entrusted a bunch of outcasts with the most important message in history. Consider that we have been entrusted with it too. And so let's follow our brothers' example. Maybe they were shepherdesses, brothers and sisters. Let's follow their example and let's share this message as eagerly as they did. And if this is a message that is new, where you, if this is something that you have not encountered or you are wrestling or struggling with it, recognize that the fact that God chose the shepherds is central to the message itself, because God gives his good news only to people who can't earn it. That's why he chose that group of people, because they were so low that nobody would ever figure out why he did that. And that's the whole point. The gospel is for those who can't earn it, who can't deserve it. And it is a free gift, and all we can do is receive it and turn from our sins and give our lives to God. And so I think we want to remember that tonight and every day after it. There's a lot of things that we do at Christmas that we always say, all the songs say, you know, we should do this all year long. And this is one of them. And that's share the good news. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you.